when I was a kid, just as today, it's not usual for me to get up very early in the morning, but occasionally I did. And especially during those cold winter days down on the far south coast, there were times when it was pretty cold. And we had both the old slow combustion stove and then a fireplace in the main living room. And usually Dad would try and stoke both of those up overnight so that there would still be some kind of semblance of warmth in the morning, but often there was almost nothing at all. And, you know, being the pathetic individual that I am, I wasn't much use at building a fire. But then Dad would come in, and with this amazing wizardry, he'd be able to transform those little coals that are just burning and glowing away, and suddenly there would be this roaring fire that would once again begin to emanate heat back into the house. And it's that beautiful thing that sometimes we imagine ourselves to be a bit like those coals. You know, we seem spent, we seem burnt out, we seem like we can offer nothing much at all. But all it takes is just a little tenderness, a little breath of the Spirit, and suddenly those coals can once again give birth to a new source of warmth, a new sign of life and vitality in the world. And it seems that's what Paul is reminding his young disciple, Timothy, his young Padawan, to invite him into that encounter with that truth. That even though Timothy might feel a little bit ashamed that Paul is once again in prison, and that once again he's not able to go and to visit the one that he loves, but this one that has seems, you know, to have abandoned so much in continually getting stuck in jail along the way, and we don't even know which of the imprisonments that Paul is referring to. He was in prison so many times across the course of his life, and that's a deeply shaming experience. And so Paul has to say, do not be ashamed of me. Do not be ashamed of the gospel that I bear and that I carry, because it's the source of power. It's the place where you can find that life. And so fan into a flame those gifts that God has given to you. Allow God to do that work to restore and renew us once again back to life and to fullness and to vitality. In our gospel tonight, we've cut off the first four verses of chapter 17 of Luke's gospel. And once again, I'm perplexed as to why the creators of the lectionary have done this, because that explains why the disciples, the apostles, cry out, increase our faith. There are two sayings that we hear from Jesus. The first is Jesus reminding the disciples, you know, don't be a stumbling block. Don't be someone that trips other people up. You need to live in that integrity. And we know that we need to be faithful to that. You know, we don't want to, especially in leadership, but for all of us, we don't want to be a source of someone else stumbling and losing their way and not being able to be faithful to the love of God. And then there's this teaching about sin. And he says, look, yes, you need to correct things. If you see someone doing something wrong, yes, you need to correct them. But Jesus says, if someone does something wrong against you, and seven times in the day they do something wrong, but seven times they come and ask for forgiveness, then you need to be abundant with your mercy. You need to extend that forgiveness and that mercy every time someone requests it. And it seems to be that's the cause. The disciples are like, oh, come on, that's just way too much. And that's why they say, come on, increase our faith, because we can't do this in our own strength. And yet Jesus is saying, look, in fact, if you have just faith the size of a mustard seed, the smallest of the seeds known at that time, then you'll be able to pray that this mulberry tree will be cast into the ocean. In the equivalent passage in Matthew's gospel, we have a mountain being cast into the ocean. We need to understand, you know, what it is to have this sort of faith that Jesus is inviting us into tonight. I think it's not so much about the faith that we have in ourselves, but it's the faith that we have in God. A good way of thinking about that, like if you're looking through a window at this magnificent vista, this beautiful view or indeed if you're looking through a window at the glories of God. It doesn't really matter if the window is only like, you know, 30 centimeters wide. You're still able to take in the full grandeur of that vision. Even if the window is, you know, 30 meters wide, as long as you're close to that window, you're not going to be able to see any more than that little window is able to offer to you. So it's not about what we bring to the equation, but it's about the greatness of God, the goodness of God that we are invited into. Increase our faith is increasing our desire for God. Allow us to experience that longing to be free, not to be bound by all those little things that can constrict us and prevent us from living in that place of freedom. So let's indeed be people that recognize that this is all about God. This is all about the goodness of God. This is all about the generosity of God. All that we can do is receive. All that we can do is get rid of anything that prevents us from receiving. And that's about standing in humility. Humility comes from that experience of being grounded. The word humility comes from the Latin root of humus, of the soil, the dirt. You know, it's when you are well grounded, when you're standing, knowing who you are, not thinking too much nor too little about yourself, just recognizing that all we have, all that we've received, is simply a gift from the generosity of God. And so in gratitude, we respond. In gratitude, we acknowledge the gifts that we have received. In gratitude, we acknowledge that, yes, all I can be is a servant in comparison to the wonder of God. All I can do is offer the little things back to God and to continue to pray that we might be people that are changed and transformed to be of use, to be of service, to continue to share that love and that life into the world. Let's pray for one another that we might indeed experience the wonder of God's love and that we might be generous in sharing the gifts that we have received, not expecting anything in return, but simply acknowledging that out of a duty, we continue to have received so much, and so we share from the abundant gifts that God has given us. We continue to pour out those gifts in return to all those around us.